All right, we're going to go ahead and get started.
I hope so. Yes. Low battery. Well, it's red. Is that... Are they 9 volts?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I had some too. All right, technological glitch averted. Good morning, everybody here and everybody on Zoom. I'm now getting used to this multiple screen and teaching live because it's what I'm doing every day in work, and I am not doing it well, I got to tell you. But thankfully, I'm not in school today. I'm here, and we get to open up the Word of God and talk about the third commandment. So before I get into this, let's pray, because we are definitely in need of help this morning. Lord, I want to praise you and thank you that you would give us a place to come together and worship you. I praise you for your beautiful creation, this day that you've given us. But most importantly, in this new day that you've given us new mercy. As you've woken us up this morning and given us life and breath. But everything that we need, Lord, you provided in your Son. And so I pray that as we come to this third commandment in the catechism this morning, taken obviously from your word, that we would see your Son in even greater measure this morning, and it would give us cause to worship and praise. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the third commandment, before we get to it, let me just ask a question. Does anybody know anybody with the last name Plummer? Anybody? What about, you do? You know somebody? Oh, that's right. Yeah, we do. Okay. What about the last name Judge? Anybody know anybody? First name? Good. Okay. Good. Good. How about Archer? Somebody know an Archer? What about a Hunter? Anybody know somebody with last name a Hunter? Oh, good. Okay. Or first name a Hunter. Sure. Taylor. Maybe a Gardner? Somebody? A Mr. Gardner? Mrs. Gardner? Okay. So if you've answered yes, do any of those people actually, does their name actually describe their profession? So like, for example, do you know a Bob Gardner who's actually a gardener? Or do you know a Barry Plummer who's actually a plumber? Do you know anybody like that? So names given to people might actually be descriptive of their profession, maybe, but it doesn't really tell who they are completely. Does this make sense? Good. So with God, it's different. That's why the third commandment really is so important to know, because in the third commandment, we're going to be specifically speaking about the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. And what does the commandment say? Don't do what? Don't take the name of the Lord how? In vain. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Listen again to this. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Taken from Exodus 20, verse 7. So today we're on Lord's Day 36. We're continuing in the grace section. Boy, I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I read that commandment, I'm not necessarily thinking grace. If you take the Lord's name in vain, God's not going to hold you guiltless. But, in fact, it is in the grace section, so we need to read it as such, and we're going to get to that. But in Lord's Day 36, we're at question and answer 99 and 100. So we're going to really kind of camp out in question 100, but before we get there, I do want to just read through the questions and answers, and for 99 at least, read it through and then give the scriptural proofs, because they're really pretty self-evident here. So question and answer 99, what is the aim of the third commandment? Answer, that we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths, nor share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. In summary, we should use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe, so that we may properly confess God, pray to God, and glorify God in all our words and works. Question answer 100. Is blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such serious sin that God is angry also with those who do not do all they can to help prevent and forbid it? Answer, yes, indeed. No sin is greater or provokes God's wrath more than blaspheming his name. That is why God commanded it to be punished with death. That give anybody pause? Question answer 100. Yeah, that one's a little uncomfortable. Okay, let's go back to question 99. In question 99, we've got the first half of the answer are negatives, don't do's. These are things you don't do. And then there are things that you are supposed to do. So here are the things that we're not supposed to do. What's the aim of the third commandment? Answer, don't do these things. That we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths, nor share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. Well, what does that mean? Well, if you see somebody cursing or committing perjury or taking an unnecessary oath, you don't do anything when you know that they're actually doing those things. That's what that last part means, sharing in such horrible sins. You're actually going to be sharing in that sin of perjury or sharing in that cursing of God. So let's look at the scripture, that we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing. And we've got an example in Leviticus 24, verses 10 to 17. Now, an Israelite woman's son, whose father was an Egyptian. So here we have a boy, or he might be a teenager, we're not sure, who was from Israel, an Israelite woman, but an Egyptian father. So he wasn't completely Israeli, right? Or an Israelite. Went out among the people of Israel. And the Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel fought in the camp. So now we have a Jew and this really half-Jew fighting. And the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name and cursed. Then they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shemaleth, the daughter of Debri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in custody till the will of the Lord should be clear to them. They didn't know what to do with him. He cursed God, cursed the name of the Lord. They didn't know what to do. So now verse 13, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, bring out of the camp the one who cursed and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head and let all the congregation stone him. And speak to the people of Israel saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him. The sojourner as well as the native, when he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death. Pretty serious. Cursing of God's name has a death penalty, right? What about perjury? Leviticus 19:12, you shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. So what's the aim of the third commandment? That we don't do these things. We don't blaspheme or misuse the name of God by cursing, perjury. By the way, just to make sure, perjury, so we make sure we know what this is. It's the offense of willfully telling a lie after taking an oath or omission of truth under oath. So you know something to be true, and yet you willfully tell that lie. And maybe even perjury in court would be you've now taken an oath to tell the truth, but you willfully lie. That's perjury. So the third one here, unnecessary oaths. What scripture say about that? Well, Matthew 5:37, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Or James 5:12, but above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. And then here we go with the fourth footnote, nor share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. So if you hear somebody cursing the name of the Lord, committing perjury against the name of the Lord, taking unnecessary oaths, and you don't say anything. You're sharing in that. Leviticus 5:1, if anyone sins in that he hears a public adjuration to testify, meaning someone's making an appeal to testify, and though he is a witness, whether he has seen or come to know the matter, yet does not speak, he shall bear his iniquity. So you're guilty. If you see something, you know what went on. Someone's asking you, even, can you help me out on this? Nope, not going to do it. You're guilty. You're sharing in such horrible sins. You're standing on the side sharing in that. So here's what we should do. Second half of the answer. In summary, we should use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe. Footnote 5, Psalm 99, verses 1 to 5. For sake of time, I'm going to allow you to look that up. But basically, verse 5, exalt the Lord our God, worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Holy is he. There's none like him. So that we may properly confess God. Romans 10, 9 through 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. What are we confessing? Confessing, really, the name of the Lord. And we're going to get to that. And in this case, the name Jesus. Pray to God. So here are things that we should do. Use the holy name of God with reverence and awe, so that we can properly confess God. Pray to God. 1 Timothy 2:8, I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. And glorify God in all our words and works. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So what is the aim of the third commandment? That we don't blaspheme the name of the Lord. That's really, in summary, what this is saying. We don't blaspheme or misuse the name of the Lord. That we actually use the name of the Lord appropriately, with reverence and awe, knowing that he's holy, there is none like him. And we are to glorify God, and God is glorified in the use of his name in the right way. So then question answer 100. Does anybody have any question about that in 99? It is pretty straightforward, but anybody have a question? Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that, Chris. Chris said, if we're living in a way, claiming to be a Christian, but living in a way that more glorifies the world and the ways of the world, you look more secular than sacred. It's kind of under the name of God, because you're claiming the name of God as a Christian, then that's kind of what we're talking about in this words and works issue, that we then are really blaspheming or misusing the name of the Lord. And that's a great point to bring out. Everyone understand what Chris was just talking about? Yeah, it's really important. It's really important. So question and answer 100. Is blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such serious sin that God is angry also with those who do not do all they can to help prevent and forbid it? Answer, yes indeed. No sin is greater or provokes God's wrath more than blaspheming his name. That is why God commanded it to be punished with death. So why is it so important that we don't take the name of the Lord in vain? I mean, it's only a name, right? Can we really say that one sin of blaspheming the name of the Lord is more serious and deserves greater punishment than other sins? Can we really differentiate between different sins? Because that's really what the Catechism is doing here. There's nothing that provokes God's anger more than blasphemy, misuse of his name. We know that God does punish all sin. I mean, our Catechism in Lord's Day 4 tells us that God is terribly angry about the sin we are born with, as well as the sins we personally commit, As a just judge, he punishes them both now and in eternity. Galatians 3:10 curses everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. But the sin of blasphemy in his name is so serious that God has commanded this sin to be punished with death. I mean, remember the scripture passage from Leviticus 24 that we talked about just a couple minutes ago with this half-breed Jew who blasphemed the name of the Lord. And what was the verdict against him? Death by stoning. From his word, though, we know that there are other sins that carry the death sentence. We know this. There are other sins. For example, murder carries a death sentence with it. Adultery. We think of the woman that was brought to Jesus. She was supposed to be stoned. Worshipping other gods. Should be killed for that. Child sacrifice. Working on the Sabbath carries a death sentence with it in the law of God. Witchcraft. Cursing a parent. Oh, I'm just trying to offer a little levity here. Striking a parent. Oh, I'm not even going to look over there. Kidnapping. So is this sin of blasphemy in the name of the Lord really greater than all the other sins and provokes God's wrath more than any other? I mean, it seems kind of like hyperbole in the catechism to say that. You know, hyperbole, exaggerated statement, not to be taken literally, right? It seems like hyperbole at this point. But the answer is yes. This sin is greater. The reason why is because of what the name of the Lord actually means. So as I talked about in the very beginning, right, a person named, just think of the Yankee, Aaron Judge, one of the greatest home run hitters of today. He's not actually a judge. He's a baseball player. Right, so his name doesn't dictate who he is. It's just a name. But when you talk about the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord is not a name like I have or you have or millions of people have. All that he is, his holiness, it's all in his name. The name I am. The name of the Lord is the Lord himself in all of the fullness of his revelation, the fullness of his mercy, the fullness of his faithfulness, the fullness of his grace, the fullness of his power, the fullness of his love in Christ. The name of the Lord is all that we know of him, how he's revealed himself in all of the riches of his mercies and faithfulness, all of his compassion and righteousness, his holiness, his perfections and all that he is. He's set apart, his otherness, his unchangeable nature. He's all powerful, all knowing, all wise. He's the God who supplies our every need. He's the God who heals. He's the Lord of peace. We know that there is one, though from Scripture, who is actually the image of the invisible God and the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. And we know from Scripture that this one has been given a name. And that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And you know that name. That name is the name Jesus. That name means what? We know this from the catechism. Jesus actually means, he actually is what his name says. God saves. Or God is salvation. The Christ. What's the Christ mean? Christ. Anointed one. Messiah. What's he anointed for? What was he anointed for? Save people from their sins. Anointed to be prophet, priest, and king. Anointed for these offices and to hold them perfectly. He's our Savior and our Lord and our mediator. God is who he is. And his name is who he is. And when you blaspheme the name of the Lord, you're saying he's not those things. And so how can we be saved by a name? It's only a name. It's only possible because the name represents the Savior and all he's done for us.
with all that he's obtained for us, everything he suffered for us, if you confess that name, then you are declaring that you have communion with this Savior, that you've been redeemed by the Redeemer and you share in all his treasures and gifts. To confess the name, to call upon the name of the Lord means that you believe in all of the mercies of Christ are yours. So we embrace the truth that all the treasures which Christ has obtained for us through his work are ours and are given as a promise. And Stephen used this scripture a few weeks ago when he preached, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. That's why it is through him we utter amen to God for his glory. Who's the him? Who's the him? Not rhetorical. Great I am. Jesus. Jesus. So then why is blaspheming this name such a great sin and provokes God to anger more than any other? Because that's really the question that's on the table right now. Why is this sin so much greater than other sins? Provokes God's anger even more. Because the blaspheming of the name of the Lord means that all of the riches that we just mentioned, contained in the name of the Lord, are despised and rejected when we take the name of the Lord in vain and blaspheme his name. Does that sound harsh? Because it is. And it should be. When we blaspheme the name of the Lord, we declare him. This is what we declare when we blaspheme his name. We declare him worthless, and we profane the name, the blood of the covenant. We profane the blood of the covenant. If we deny God's mercies in Christ by blaspheming the name of the Lord, we are choosing darkness rather than light. We are rejecting God. We're saying, Jesus doesn't save, God isn't good, Holy Spirit doesn't regenerate, Heavenly Father isn't perfect in all he is, his blood at Calvary wasn't enough, his death didn't mean anything, he didn't rise to new life, defeating sin and death, he didn't bear the curse for me, God's a liar. And that's just kind of like me scratching the surface as to what we're saying when we blaspheme the name of the Lord. And I'm speaking about more than just using God's name as a passing curse word. Because a lot of us can just read this catechism and think, oh, I guess this is just talking about taking the Lord's name in vain. Like if I stub my toe and I use his name as a curse or something. Sure. But I want you to understand the depth of what's going on when we do take the name of the Lord in vain. When you do stub your toe and use his name as a curse. We are saying that God is not who he says he is. He's not loving. He's evil. Let it sit on you. Is this one serious? Yes. This commandment is serious. There's nothing that provokes God's anger more than us saying, you're not who you say you are. You're not God. But let's remember. Check my time here. Okay. This Lord's Day comes in the gratitude section of our catechism. This is after guilt and grace, right? We see our guilt, we see our need. And in the grace section, we see that everything is met in the work of Christ. Grace. Grace. God's grace. We only know the name of the Lord. We only know our Savior. We only see the glory of God as seen through Christ because we see Christ in the gospel. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:6. Knowing the name of the Lord and loving and worshiping the name of the Lord is God's work in us. It's God's work in us. Salvation belongs to the Lord. We love him. Why? How? How? Because he first loved us. And loving him is loving his name. Because remember, his name contains all that he is. We only love him because he first loved us. He opened our blind eyes. We know him. We know his name. We know his work. We see his perfections, his character in the law. We know him because God has granted faith to those who hated him. Me and you. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's a work of God so that no one may boast. We didn't know him as Savior, and we did blaspheme his name. We did. But God, who's rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, even when we blasphemed his name, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. There is great joy now in this commandment as we remember what is in the name of the Lord and that his name is for us. Please see this commandment as a warning, right? Biblical word, an admonishment and a call to holiness. Don't blaspheme the name of the Lord. Don't misuse his name. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. But we're saying that in light of the gospel. And we're reading that in light of the work of Christ. We now love the name of the Lord and we hate blaspheming his name because we love the Lord. We hate blaspheming. We do. Because that's who you are as a believer. You love what he loves and you hate what he hates. So, believer, you, me, who has blasphemed the name of the Lord, be thankful this morning because you have a Savior who's died for this most grievous sin of blasphemy. He died for this sin of blasphemy. Your sin of blasphemy. He went to the cross and died. Despising and rejecting all that God is, his revelation of himself and his word, that's what we did. But God in Christ still provided mercy and grace at the cross. So the penalty of blasphemy, what's the penalty of blasphemy? Death. Jesus took that penalty for you so that we can have everlasting life. We can have him. This is why we long to exalt the name of Christ and not blaspheme the name of the Lord. This is the third commandment, Steve. Absolutely. Every time we gather. And which is why it provokes God to anger so much, more than any other. Because he longs for us to see him more. And so he reveals himself to us by his Holy Spirit, through his word. Any other questions? Thank you, Steve. Anything else? I think specifically in this one, we're really specifically talking about the name of the Lord. However, I do believe, Chuck, that to your point, grumbling would be a mistrust in God's provision, right? We're thinking that, yes, we're complaining, and maybe our complaining is rooted in the fact that we're not believing that God has provided all that we need in Christ, right? So sin, but I don't think it's specifically misusing the name of the Lord. We're actually talking about cursing, perjury, specifically with the name of the Lord, and misusing it. No, you're right. Go ahead, Chuck. Great question. So the quick answer is, I fail and run to Christ. That's my quick answer. Because there are so many times, Chuck, that I am a silent bystander. However, I'm grieved by the sin. And I'm grieved by what I hear, the misuse of the name of the Lord. And then I'm grieved by my own sin of complacency or inaction. There are times when I have said things, absolutely. But in the long and short of it is, I run to Christ and see the forgiveness that he's provided for my silent bystanding. Anthony?
They cause you to say something. They cause you a friend, and they cause you all kinds of things. But it is a command.
Yes. And believe me, there are many in here that can speak to losing friends, maybe even family members that won't talk to you anymore because of this. You took a stand to say, no, I will not stand for the blasphemy of my Savior.
And that doesn't mean, we're not saying pick up stones, right?
Exactly.
But there's a way in which you can communicate to somebody how that's not appropriate.
Yeah, with gentleness and respect. Absolutely. Tom said, we're more afraid of man than we are of God, and that's absolutely true. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, it's, Chuck, these are not easy questions to answer.
But he is better. God is great. And he can overcome all our shortcomings. And that's the point I hear from us.
Yes. And part of the silent bystanding is that maybe even you agree and are standing silently next to them. So, like, you actually agree with the misuse of the name and aren't saying anything. So, you're actually committing this curse just by standing silently, right? But as believers, we hate the misuse of the name. We actually love the third commandment where God says not to take his name in vain because we love the name of the Lord.
And that will be evidence in our lives.
And that will absolutely be evidence in our lives, which is to Chris's point earlier, which our lives will be an overflow of this belief of the name of the Lord and all that he is. Are you going to fail in this? Yes. This is why we need to hear the gospel. This is why we need to think on the gospel every day, because there is sin that still indwells us. But Christ died for this sin of taking his name in vain. And that forgiveness is for you in Christ.
Okay, I was just going to say, if you said it, we're in the gratitude section. If we're looking at this as the guilt section, you're only ever going to be motivated by, well, I guess I need to do this so that I'm not a curse. You know, this should be motivated by, his name should be preserved. He is saved. That's who he is. He's good. You know, he's all these things. If you see being misused that way, I have a sneaky, you know, suspicion that you're not just going to stand up and embarrass somebody, maybe in a meeting. You know, you're going to find a way, one, to preserve the name of God, but also loving your neighbor at the same time. It's not going to come about as, God doesn't need us to, like, stand up and protect him, but it's out of love that we see his name being misused, and we go, that's the one I love, and that's not who he is, that we would want, if we would want him to be made known as he is.
Yes.
And this is what, like, when you stand up and bring someone who's not saving the name of the Lord, who gets the saving? That's a big thing. Who gets the saving? So it's supposed to be done in a private manner, in the most peaceful manner, right?
Yes. Yeah, check our motivations. Yeah, thank you. Remember, he who has been forgiven much, loves much.
We have a great example here of Peter, denying Christ, that didn't know his name. I don't know the man.
Yeah.
Flat out denial. Goes on to become, you know, one of the greatest advocates of Christ.
Yes. Green. Yeah. Really great question. Doreen, I don't want to avoid the question. I want to make sure everybody heard it, especially those on Zoom. But Doreen asked about, you know, the substitutes. So, oh my goodness, oh geez. You know, the intent is really blaspheming the name of the Lord. We're just thinking about something that might be a little bit more acceptable in Christian circles. But it's really the intent of the heart that's most important in this. So, if at all possible, tune in next week for the answer.
So that would mean her intention is to think about the name of the Lord when invoking that. That would be the sin, but it's the same truth. And she's not considering that.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much in it that, there's so much in that one. It's really a difficult question. But what I want you to get out of this today, and then I'm done, and I apologize, I'm a little over time. We need to remember, what section is this in?
Gratitude.
Why do you need to be grateful in a commandment?
Same reason that Peter was grateful,
which is what? Let's not assume that everybody knows everything. Because we've received grace in this sin, that Christ died for this sin. He died specifically for this sin, your sin of blasphemy, my sin of blasphemy. He died for that sin, and we receive grace and mercy at the cross. All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that you would open your word to us this morning. Lord, there's so many questions we have and so many implications about your name and misuse of your name. And Lord, we want to even say now that we are guilty of misusing your name, blaspheming your name. Lord, forgive us for that. We repent of that. Our desire is to only have you be seen for who you actually are, who you really are, the great I am. So Lord, I pray that this morning, even as we go into the service and as we open your word and as Anthony preaches, you would in fact reveal yourself that way, that we would see you and we would have a greater understanding of your name. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.